Good morning. It's good to be back home. It's good to be back with all of you. I wasn't on vacation. With the diocese, I do work with medical ethics, and this was a bioethics pilgrimage. It was with the new nursing academy at the University of Mary, which is a group of 30 nursing students who are accepted into the academy, and they receive their nursing degree tuition-free. But over the course of their 2.5 years of study, it's not just the academics in the classroom and the clinicals at the hospital that form them. It's also a much deeper formation that they receive, part of which is this pilgrimage, which in part helps them to see as they're entering into medicine and the care of people. It helps them to see the great hope and light and healing that medicine can bring to people, and also the flip side of that, the way in which medicine and technology can be used in a very calculated way to destroy human life as well. And so it was a pilgrimage with these 30 students and then representatives from the two hospitals that are sponsoring them in Bismarck, Sanford and CHI. And there were two key places that we were at. One place was a place of immense and thick darkness. And the other was a place of incredible and brilliant light. The place of darkness that we were at, which showed something of the absolute worst of humanity, was the Dachau concentration camp, which is just outside of Munich, Germany. Dachau was one of the very first concentration camps, but why it was important for us to go there is Dachau was the place where all of the medical experimentations took place. Germany in the 1920s and 30s was one of the most medically advanced nations in the world, where all the groundbreaking research was happening in medicine. And they took many of the prisoners at this concentration camp in Dachau, and they used them for medical experimentations, which was a form of torture, yes, but they were using it to try and create medical breakthroughs on these, their human guinea pigs. It's a place in which everything that the people who were prisoners were put to was to dehumanize them, to be stripped seemingly of their humanity and of their dignity. But one of the most jarring things to see was one of the days we went up to Nuremberg, where they held the war crime trials, where the worst of the offenders of the Holocaust were put on trial. And one of the most jarring things to see is that these people who carried out the medical experiments and these other horrific things, they weren't monsters. You go there and you read the letters that they wrote, and these people, many of them, they were good husbands. There was one who was the chief medical doctor in Dachau, where you can read a letter that he wrote to his wife, just talking very matter-of-fact terms about what they had been doing that day, how it was so, you know, it had gotten so matter-of-fact and just boring almost in a sense, but he was talking about Christmas and he had a special gift for her. How are the children? Send my kisses, my love. Many of them, by many accounts, they were good parents. They loved and doted on their children. They cared for them. In other words, many of the people who carried out these crimes were very ordinary people. And in the trials, the thing that came up over and over again was that they were just doing their jobs. They were just following orders. They were ordinary people who had been swept along with the currents of culture and the changing values. And they didn't want to rock the boat. And they didn't perhaps maybe have any moral courage to do anything about it if something did strike them as off. They were just doing their job. But they had been swept along as culture had changed into what it had become. And the place of Dachau, it's not as if they didn't speak of human dignity. They did speak of human dignity, but what they understood by dignity was that you can have a certain amount of dignity based by the power of your intelligence, based on the strength that you have, your health, that those who had that had greater dignity and decided what, if any, dignity those who did not have that would have. Those who had minds that were not fully developed, those who were weak, those who were sick. And so, yes, they spoke a lot of human dignity, but it was something you could have a lot of or you could have next to nothing of it, and you could also lose it very quickly. It was a place of immense darkness. But the place that we went to and ended at was a place of immense hope and light, which was Lourdes, France, which is a place that in 1858, our Mother Mary appeared a number of times to a little girl named Bernadette, who was a little sickly girl. She had just turned 14 years old, but she looked maybe no more older than 7, 8 years old, as she had had cholera and had been sick for many years. And her family was also one which had just come across great disgrace. The father had been thrown in prison. He had been falsely accused, but he spent time in prison under this false accusation of having stolen. The mother, the rumors were that she was an alcoholic, and they'd been forced to move into this little abandoned jail cell next to where all the sewage of the town was dumped. And so it was to this little girl, this little nothing girl, that Mary appeared and over the course of a couple months gave a message of hope, of repentance, and of healing. Of course, people, when she told them about this beautiful lady who she didn't know at first who it was appearing to her, people asked her, well, what does she look like or what's it like? And the way she described it, she said, this lady looked at me as if I were a person. This little nothing girl, she looked at me as if I were a person. And very soon, right after the apparitions, this place of Lourdes became right away a place of pilgrimage, where thousands and thousands of people who are sick and who are ill, they come to this place, and they have from the very beginning, to this place of pilgrimage and of healing. And throughout the years, many have experienced healing at this place, some incredible physical healing, many more, a much deeper and even more important healing of their soul. Those with terminal illness, those who suffer greatly in their life, they come and they leave with a peace in their soul. They leave with a light that had taken the place of the darkness that had been in their heart. It's a place of immense hope. It's a place of immense light. And it's a place with all these, even today, hundreds of thousands of sick people coming throughout the year. From the very beginning, there was a hospital that sprung up to care for the many sick who come every day to Lourdes. And it's this hospital which the nursing students were able to enter in and to experience what the care of the sick is like there. and what it means to care for those who are indeed the least of those, who have the weakest in terms of body or mind or health or whatever it might be. And that there was something that Mary revealed to Bernadette of the true dignity of human life. That dignity is not just some word that you can throw around that you can lose or somebody has greater dignity than another, but rather, human dignity is something that from the very first moment of conception, when there is a new life, there is a divine spark that is given to that new life. There is a light that is lit within that human soul from the very first moment. And it is an eternal light that for all of eternity will burn, even if that life lives for only a very short time. That light will be one which is a life in eternity forever. And what that means is that there's a dignity that every person has that can never be lessened and it can never be taken away, but it is a light within every human life. There's a beautiful thing which happens every night in Lourdes. As on any given day, there's tens of thousands of pilgrims who are there. And as the evening falls on the little sanctuary, everyone comes with their candles and they process around, about 20,000 when we were there, around the promenade and circle back around to the sanctuary. And you see this sea of light. And the rosary is prayed in all the different languages. And between each decade, the Ave Maria is sung as people raise their candles. And it's a whole sea of light. It's a place that fills the soul with hope and it brings healing. But the whole important thing that's meant to happen from this pilgrimage, everyone, the most important thing is not just some pilgrimage of light and darkness in terms of just seeing it, of like, oh, look at this, Dachau, really awful stuff, darkness, evil, bad. Oh, Lourdes, light, hope. Isn't that incredible? It's not meant to just be some external thing that you see. Here's light, here's darkness. But the whole point of it, for these nursing students and for all who are there, is to recognize, and it's one that all of us are meant to recognize, that that light and that darkness, as great as each of those are, is within every human heart. Within your heart is the capacity for immense darkness beyond any imagination. And then if I don't see that, if I just think about that, I'm like, sure, whatever. No, there's something in me in which the gospel hasn't struck yet. It hasn't penetrated. If I don't see that within my heart is the capacity for the most horrific and darkest things that humanity can know. And that's every human heart. But also within every human heart is the capacity for the greatest light and the capacity for that light to enter in and to be shown to others as well. There's a capacity for immense hope to come from that light within every human soul too. There's a man whose name was Solzhenitsyn who wrote aptly that the line dividing good and evil, the line which divides good and evil, isn't dividing these people from this other group of people. Here are the good people and here are the bad people. Here are the people who are on the right side of history and here are the people who aren't. That's not the true way of understanding it. But rather, the line between good and evil is a line which cuts through every human heart. And that every human heart is capable of being swept along with the winds of the culture. It's capable of doing some of the most horrific things. but is capable of well as well of becoming saints, of becoming light in the midst of horrific darkness. And so in the midst of this, one sees that and says, Jesus, have mercy and heal me. Which gives us the context for very quickly all these readings. God gives us the divine law out of love for us. He gives us the divine law to help to guide our hearts that have immense light and immense darkness in them, to guide them to the good. God gives us the law, his divine law, to protect us from ourselves, to protect us from others, to guide us to the good, and most importantly, to keep our hearts close to his divine heart, so that the light which is in us might be released, that his healing might take place within us and work through us as well to others. I'm going to close simply with a prayer of healing for all of you who are here. It's the prayer of Our Lady of Lourdes. As I held you in prayer, especially on the days of this pilgrimage, and on the two places where I was on Sundays, where a pastor always offers his Sunday Mass for his parishioners and his families. It was in Dachau and in Lourdes that those were offered. And so to pray for you this prayer of Our Lady of Lourdes for healing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Immaculate Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, you are the refuge of sinners, the health of the sick, and the comfort of the afflicted. You know our wants, our troubles, and our sufferings. By your appearance at the Grotto of Lourdes, you made it a privileged sanctuary where your favors are given to your people, streaming to it from the whole world. Over the years, countless sufferers have obtained the cure for their infirmities, whether of soul, mind, or body. Therefore, we come to you with limitless confidence to implore your motherly intercession. Obtain, O loving Mother, the grant and grant our requests. Through gratitude for your favors, we will endeavor to imitate your virtues, that we may one day share in your glory with Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.